Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Sunday, January 21st, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my lightning fast twin brother, John Abaya.
Zooing, zooing, zooing. Look at me, I'm going really fast. Look at me, I'm really talking really fast because I'm the fastest superhero in the world.
I don't think that's how that power works.
Yeah, yes, it is. That's how the power, that's the power of the superhero, that you really talk really fast and then you just say a lot of things really quickly and just repeat the word.
It reminds me of that one Micro Machine.
I forgot his name.
From but his the adverts.
I think we talked about him like a couple of months ago because something brought him up.
Yeah, I totally forgot.
Yeah.
How are you, John?
I'm doing good. It's a good week. Besides other stuff about about America, but everything else for me is good.
So you're not shutting down?
No. I'm actually going out. It's a sunny day here. Not raining.
It is actually sunny. Yeah.
I recently
it's a wonderful day.
Washed my car in those new. I don't know if you've ever been to not new, but they've been out for a couple of years. It's called the Quick Quack.
It's been out for like more than like ten, probably decades.
So I never been to one, and I didn't know that thing's automated, where you just put your car in neutral and then it goes on and it shows like little lights telling you, oh, you have this and that. I was like, man, that's the future. And I didn't know it was subscription based thing. I was like, that's kind of cool. If I had extra $30 and I really cared about cleaning my car every day, like, you know, if I
every week at least.
No, this is every day. You can clean it every day. It's unlimited wash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm assuming it's like people who commute to like, you know, San Francisco and their car get hella dirty and whatnot. But
bugs and whatnot.
Someday, if I had extra money, I could do that.
I've been doing good. I did not do anything that you've done. But yeah, I've been watching this television show, but I'm not going to talk about it. It's called Big Little Lies on HBO,
okay,
which stars Reese Witherspoon, and I forgot
it's,
her name
it's now. About that teen drama, right? About them accidentally killing their best friend or something, and then the best friend haunts them or weird.
Sort of.
And they dress all in black.
No. That, you're thinking about Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, okay. Is that the sequel to that, the more mature version?
yeah, it's nothing that. That's about it. So
thank you guys.
I've also been watching episodes of Living Single on Hulu.
Wait, that's out? All of them? Really?
Yeah. And then it's kind of cool to watch it because then you get to see the sort of like what Friends was inspired to do at the time.
So that one came out before Friends?
Yes. Huh. So apparently, I forgot who the creator was of Friends, but when the when Living Single came out, they asked the creator, like, if you could take any show right now during that season that was popular, which show would you want to create? And he's like, Living Single. Hmm. And then a year later, they did the same thing, but with white folks. So,
did not know that. I really enjoyed Living Single growing up. And then, especially Martin, Lawrence comedy. He was big during that time. So.
Yes.
How does Martin. That show starts off? Is it like a... Like everyone knows each other, or is it like Friends?
Yeah, everyone. It's like just how Friends was. It's okay. Like everyone. One cool fact is that if you watch the pilot, they were using the house from Family Matters.
When does that even come in play? Because they live in an apartment, don't they?
Yeah, but no, they live in a townhouse in New York.
Huh? And it's the one from Family Matters, or
it was the one from Family Matters. In the second episode, they change everything.
Huh.
I think people probably figured
that's a huge townhouse.
Yeah. Well, no, like townhouses are like the two-story, three-story. Yeah, you know, they look like stacked.
The
like
Family the Matters around... house was huge. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm gonna look that up. Hulu, right?
Yeah, it still stands up. The comedy still stands up. If you want to see Queen Latifah and the gang,
then they should air Living Color.
They do have a Living Color.
Oh, they do too. Too. Do they have sister?
No, they don't. Okay. I don't think they do. I've been waiting for this show to come on to like streaming for a while. That's why
I wanted to watch
Twitter. Huh?
No. Okay, go continue.
No, I think on Twitter I've been like. Asking for it, and yeah, they probably listened to me. I was like, oh, cool,
that's cool. I always wanted to rewatch Wayne's Brothers to see if that comedy holds up.
I think some of it holds up. I don't know all of it, but Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impression of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with the main discussion. This week's main discussion is the new CW television show, Black Lightning, which also is premiering this Tuesday, a couple days from now. It is premiering on the website, CW.com, I believe, or something like that. I don't know the exact name, but you can watch it streaming free on that, platform.
Defy.
What?
That's our slogan for CW, oh. Defy.
So you're saying Defy, and I was like...
No.
But yeah, that's how we watched it. Mm-hmm. But before all that, we do have a trailer talk. This week's trailer is Love, Simon.
I like your boots. I said I like your boots. Goodbye.
Nobody knows I'm gay. Sometimes I feel like I'm stuck on a Ferris wheel. One minute I'm on top of the world, then the next I'm at rock bottom. I've been thinking about why I haven't come out yet. Maybe part of me wants to hold on to who I've always been, just a little longer.
That is a clip from Love, Simon, with a really wonderful soundtrack. I forgot who the name of the band. Anyway, from IMDb plot synopsis, everyone deserves a great love story, but for Simon, it's complicated. No one knows he's gay, and he doesn't know how the anonymous classmate that is he's falling for online. Resolving both issues proves hilarious, scary, and life-changing. Directed by Greg Berlanti. Fun fact, Greg Berlanti is also the executive producer of Black Lightning and all the CW DC shows.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
So we didn't pick this trailer talk for accidentally, but I did that because of that, tie-in.
Oh, I did not know
that. I think
that.
He does those type of, teen angst really well, so I think that's why he directed this film. Mm-hmm. The film is based on a novel titled Simon versus the Homo Sapien Agenda by Becky Albertalli, starring Nick Robinson, Catherine Langford, and Alexandra Shipp, and then dozens of other people. Those are the names that popped out most. Nick Robinson is well known for Kings of Summer, which was a wonderful film, mm-hmm. and the great and underappreciated Jurassic World.
Oh, he's the kid in that?
Yeah, he's the older brother, yeah.
Huh, wow.
Yeah. So, John, I think you mentioned this before, or I saw you on Twitter that talked about this. What's your thoughts about Love, Simon?
I don't remember ever saying something on Twitter about it.
I think I probably mistaken you from someone else.
Then. Yeah. I really like the trailer. It is a typical coming-of-age movie. So when I first watched it, I didn't know anything about this or anything about, about the premise or anything. I thought for a moment it was going to be a weird superhero movie when he's talking about, I don't know which trailer. There's, two trailers out there. One's more comedic and one's more just straightforward, the story. So he's like, no one knows anything about me. And I was like, oh, is this a twist on... the coming of age movie, but he's like a superhero or something like that. And then he hasn't came out yet and he's gay. I was like, oh, that's nice too. It felt like one of those 80s type of movies, but in a different perspective that we haven't seen in a while, or I can't think of off the top of my head. There probably is. Like, the last movie that I really enjoyed that had a similar 80s vibe was Easy A, that they switched up the premise of that type of coming of age movie, but this looks really promising and I'm looking forward to it. The performances in the trailer looks good. Did you see the bit in the trailer where why is it gay people have to come out and straight people don't, and they show a montage of people who are straight coming out to their parents and the parents are crying and
wait, I don't remember.
I think that's why there's two trailers. There's one that's one's more story based, and the other one's more comedic. The one I watch is the story based one. It's you can go on the YouTube of Fox. They should have it on there. But that's the one I thought was really funny, the way they portray that. I was like, oh, it's this type of film. If they do that type of, it seems like he's narrating the film. The person Nick Robinson's playing Simon. Throughout the movie, and then I can see that play out really well in the movie theater, that one scene.
I did not even notice that yeah. was a thing. I probably have to watch the other trailer now.
Mm-hmm. That was funny. The other trailer that I watched. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Might not watch it in movie theaters. I don't really watch coming of age films in movie theaters. I mostly watch it at home and whatnot. Not because it's not my type of cup of tea, but it's just there's certain movies I have, you know, I invest in if I really, really, really want to watch. And then most of the time, coming of age movies are not those type of films that I watch in the movie theaters. Like Easy A and what was that one, the previous one, the Summer?
The Kings of Summer?
Huh?
The Kings of Summer?
Yeah, the Kings of Summer. And the director in this too is, they wrote another one, right? The Life of, oh God, it was in the trailer. Like one of the creators of blah, 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 like that.
No, I think they're producers.
Oh, producer.
The producers of Fault of Our Stars.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So that, like that one I watched at home too. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this movie.
Yeah, I'm also looking forward to the film. I don't know if you ever watch The Perks of Being a Wildflower.
No, that's one of the movies you always tell me to watch. And yeah, I always wanted to watch that.
If you like, if you want to get to that nostalgic, like 80s coming of age films, that one hits it really well. Yeah, overall, I think the trailer is well produced. It's really like the soundtrack is really amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh wow, they're going for this. And it's a story I feel like it's been told before, but
yeah.
I think uniquely it's being told in this sense of just the sense of direction. I think it feels more indie. Well, I feel like most of these stories feel more indie when it comes to coming age film. But I think the antics is him still trying to hide what is his life,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool. And it's funny that you said it reminds you like in the beginning of a superhero film about him coming out. And then Lena Waithe, the creator of The Shy, if you ever watch Master of None, she plays the best friend of Aziz Ansari. So like in her acceptance speech when she won best writing in the Emmys for a television show, she mentioned that her power is like a superhero. Like her coming out was like a superhero, like letting people know. So it's kind of cool that you said that because it's like it kind of connects.
Mm.
But yeah, overall, I think Nick Robinson is a great actor. And then just I'm probably kind of tired of him playing teenagers when I know he's not a teenager anymore. I'm pretty sure he's in his 20s now. I think he's like 23.
He was born 1995. Do the math, people. 22.
So he's 23. He is 23. Yeah. But it's kind of weird that he still plays like this 17, 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. I mean, the films have been doing that for years already in the 80s. If you watch like Heather, like none of them look like teenagers.
Speaking
at
of
all.
Heather, no.
What?
You haven't seen the new trailer for that movie?
Oh yeah, I don't know if you talked about.
So
it.
So I never watched Heather, so I have no context of that.
Yeah, trailer. Me too. Yeah, I haven't watched Heather. Yeah,
but I won't discuss that at all.
Yeah, we could discuss that later whenever the show premieres. Mm-hmm. But yeah, looking forward to Love, Simon. I don't know if I'm gonna watch in movie theaters. There is a film that's similar, but it doesn't have to do with like it's about a teenager coming out. Call Me By Your Name, which is getting like a lot of praises for Oscar buzz. So it's kind of cool that both of these films are like back to back. But yeah, cool. I don't know when this is coming out. I think it comes out sometime this year. That is Love, Simon. And yeah, looking forward. So we didn't do as much this week, so there is one thing we could talk about that came out, the news that came out this week that we're kind of excited. I think, John, you're more excited because you actually have the console, the video game console. So Nintendo released, I think they're called Direct, right?
Yes, this one, they usually release a Direct, a huge one that's like, you know, 30 minutes long, but this one they called it a mini Direct because it was only 15 minutes long. It was only highlighting one thing.
So you know more about this. Can you tell us what is it about?
So over the past week, I believe, they release them on days that I'm working and times where I'm working, so I don't get it until like later in the afternoon. And what I saw on Twitter were people posting about Cardboard the whole time, and this thing. I was like, what? What's happening? Like, I didn't understand. I don't know. Did you see that too? Like, a whole bunch of people just posting cardboard pictures of things.
Yeah, like a lot of GIFs or GIFs on the internet. And then I was like, and then everyone's connecting it to Nintendo. I was like, oh, that's, I don't know what's going on, but they seem clever and funny.
Mm-hmm. And then it was revealed that on this Direct, they are going, not going, but they're continuing their toy business. They were, you know, if you don't know, Nintendo started out as a card playing company. So they've always been in the card or toys business. And they're, because of the success of the Switch, I guess they can do more extreme or experimental things with their brand now. And they're releasing a new product called Nintendo Labo. So this thing is really odd. When I first saw it, I didn't know what was happening. I thought it was going to be a game or anything like that, but I don't know. It looks really odd, and but at the same time, kind of quirky. The whole approach to it is you get this bunch of cardboard that is pre-cut, you could say, that you just punch it out, like, you know, if you ever have a cardboard crafting ever, if you ever bought one before where you make an object or something. Similar thing, but this one you have a choice of a piano, a little hook thing or a fishing rod, a little motorcycle thing, a robot, a house, a bird, and you build all this stuff out of cardboard. And the thing that's interesting is you input your Switch into the cardboard in the different ways, I believe, like you can slide in or connect the Switch little Joy-Con they have that comes with the Switch that you detach from them, and then you can connect it to the different rubber bands or things that are, I don't know how it's doing it, but mechanically nothing, it doesn't use any like electricity or anything, only electricity or actual like hardware they're using is a Switch and the Joy-Cons, and then the cardboard is like the shell of the thing. So the Switch will have the programs and the whatever the games are on there, but you use the cardboard to enhance the experience. That's the best I could say. And the video showed like just people using, like one game was a fishing, like I said, and it's like a fishing rod that's connected to cardboard, and in front of you is the game, and then somehow it knows how deep the thing, I don't know what's using. They're either using the gyro that's inside the Switch or the Joy-Con sticks and stuff. There's a game that in which you control a car and you build a car, a little thing out of cardboard, and you connect the Joy-Cons to it and you use the Switch as your remote control. And I have no idea how that's working. Like, you don't have the Joy-Cons with you, but you connect it to the cardboard, but somehow it knows where to go for some reason. It's weird. Like, it's either Nintendo found magic and it's real and they put an input into all these little cardboard things, or they're really great at designing things, because this is like one of the things I've never seen before or never been attempted. And then there's one product. Did you see this one too, Ben? The robot kit?
I did, and it looks really cool. It reminds me of Mech Assault.
Yes, and it's literally VR, because you take the Switch, you put it in front of your head, and then there's this backpack you build that connects the Joy-Cons. One's Joy-Cons in your backpack, the other Joy-Cons on your helmet, and I'm assuming it's motion control. That's how it's figuring it out, but somehow your hands are connected to these strings connected to your cardboard backpack, and inside it's just whole bunch of rubber bands and strings, you know, like dollies and stuff, and knows exactly where it's going. And then the game they showed was like a robot game where you're, you know, punching buildings and stuff like that.
Mech Assault,
yeah. But I was like, what is happening in this thing? Yeah. And you can go on labo.nintendo.com if you're wondering how these things look like, and see the packs. There's two packs that are coming out, the robot kit and the variety pack.
There's how many?
Two packs. Two different.
Core?
Two.
Core?
Two.
How many? How many?
Two. Two packs.
How many though?
Two packs.
Shakur?
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you said four. I didn't know you said.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. I have to get compose myself. Good one. That's a good dad joke.
Yes.
Hint, hint. No. just kidding about that. But there are.
When it's funny that you said that. This is really off topic because I attended the
dad convention.
No. No, the women's march last yesterday,
uh-huh.
And then one of the dads was holding a sign. Everyone has like a clever sign, and then the sign says "pro life," "pro feminism," and "pro dad jokes."
Oh,
yeah,
that's funny.
Oh no, pro choice, not pro life, mm-hmm. Pro choice.
But yeah, it's what was I talking about? Oh, the so there are two. Sets.
Packs.
Two, yeah, sets.
Two sets.
Yeah. What they're called? Toy cons. Maybe a play on the Joy-Con name. Toy Con 1 is called the variety pack. It comes with the ones I talked about: the fishing rod, the house, a bird, and a piano and whatnot. The Toy Con 2 comes with the robot pack, and they both come out on close to our birthday, April 20th. And they're kind of expensive in a weird way. I'm assuming because the cardboard isn't cheap and you have to pack all that cardboard in. But the variety pack costs like $70 and the robot kit costs like $80. And this includes a game. So you're getting that game too. But I wonder how much stuff is inside that game. Like that's what I'm worried about. Like I'm worried that this thing, I'm very excited about this and I have two kids. When we saw this, it's like, this is cool. Like, it's what I never thought Nintendo would do. But I'm worried that the games are so short that we only play it for like a week and that's it. And then we have a whole bunch of this cardboard that will get destroyed and not work later in the future. So I'm going to be very protective of this cardboard now, apparently. Like, it's a comic book and just not touch it until we play the games. I don't know. We'll see. Because... I hope they sell packs with just the cardboard. Like if you have the game, if something got damaged, I can just buy the piano pack or whatnot. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. This is probably my big purchase of the year. I know it's not like, oh, and last year was my Nintendo Switch, but if Nintendo continues this, they might be our top freaking awesome things again this year.
I agree. There's a really wonderful and interesting piece by Waypoint by Patrick Kleppen,
mm-hmm.
That's titled brilliantly bizarre cardboard toys are why Nintendo matters, and he goes in depth about like his reaction to the announcement. But in the piece, there's this really cool thing about Nintendo that people didn't know is that they created cardboard paper models. So they, not cardboard, but they made paper models. And if you go into that article that was created, he linked it, that was created in 2012, Nintendo paper model series was introduced in 1974. Uh-huh. And if you look at the photos they have provided on there, it shows like paper models of like battleships and small towns and farms. And you can see like the inception of this, cardboard thing.
So Nintendo does this a lot, where something from their past, and they evolve it. Like, the Nintendo DS used to be the old black and white, they were called something. But it was a dual screen, too, and that evolved into the Nintendo DS. And it's a thing they always had in their history, but they just evolved more, in the future. I was like, oh, I did not know that about their cardboard thing, so.
And then some would say that Nintendo, when it comes to their... hardware, it's a lot of it is a bit like a novelty, it only lasts for a couple of years. But I think that's what the great part about Nintendo is, that at least they are risk takers, and then they're weird about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's kind of cool to see that. I wonder what else can they do. Like if you go through that website that Patrick Kleppen link to, like they show a bunch of Nintendo stuff that people didn't know about. Like, there's one that's about a baby stroller, a jumping bottle. I don't know what that is
jumping
about.
Jumping bottle.
Yeah. And it's like things that they made in the 1970s and early 60s and early 70s and late 60s. That's really fascinating. Like, you can see, like, the how Nintendo lasts so long and whatnot. Mm. So, yeah. So, looking forward to this. I think it's a cool and weird idea that I'm really want to see, like, get my hands. I think part of it is that you take the time to create these things and then see it in, like, the execution and fruition. Mm-hmm. So, it's cool. Like, you said, you'll probably spend more time with your children and create these things and then play on a video game.
I finally will spend more time with my children.
Yes. I mean, yeah, overall you do spend more time. But, like, now you get to create something, mm-hmm. like Legos, but with, you know,
paper.
Cardboard.
We have part of cardboard.
Yeah. but, yeah, really looking forward to that. And I think the name is cool, too, Nintendo Labo. Mm-hmm. It just reminds me of, like, you know, laboratory. So, yeah.
Or Amiibo.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Amiibo.
I think their toy products will all have an O in N. Like how the Wii had the II of a lot of their stuff, like Miis and Wiis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming a lot of the toy stuff they're going to do in the future has an O in it.
Okay. That sounds cool. when's this coming out?
April 20th.
Literally a couple of months from now.
Yes, yes.
Oh, interesting. So, coming from that, we're going to talk about our main discussion. This week's main discussion is Black Lightning.
We knew this day would come. Do you remember why you became Black Lightning? You wanted to give the people hope. You wanted the evil that's out there to have something to fear. This city needs you. Black Lightning is back.
That is a clip from the trailer of Black Lightning, which is the new CW television show, which is going to premiere this Tuesday on your local CW station, whatever. But you can watch it on their website right now, define.cw. I don't know the actual link. Just Google it. Black Lightning pilot. But this is adapted from the Black Lightning's creator, Tony Isabella. The show is created and shown run by husband and wife duo Salim Akil and Mara Brock Akil. It's starring Cress Williams, China Ann McClain, Nafessa Williams, Christine Adams, Marvin Jones III, Damon Gupton, and James Remar. Fun fact about Cress Williams, which is the main star in Black Lightning, he is the dad in Friday Night Lights of Michael B. Jordan's character. So that's how I remember him. Mm-hmm. but anyway, so the plot synopsis is really simple from IMDb. A retired superhero becomes a vigilante for justice. So I'm probably going to start off first. Like you, John, I have no idea about Black Lightning. Prior to the show, we discussed about, like, what we knew about Black Lightning. I didn't know about him. I didn't know about the character. I know of, like, him being in, like, the DC universe, but I don't know a lot about, like, what his involvement with the Justice League. I think the character I'm most likely, like, that's more like him in the DC universe is Static Shock. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people confuse Static Shock with Black Lightning or vice versa, or like Static Shock is the son of Black Lightning, which they have no relationship. I've read like Static Shock was created, a decade ago or a couple of decades ago now. So that's kind of cool that these are two different superheroes. But my reaction to the television show, like we just wanted to discuss this because first of all, it's a new show on the WB, CW, I still call it WB, and it's a show run by, a black director, creators, and everyone involved is black, and then, you know, stars, all the cast is majority black, so it's kind of cool to see that on a CW, which is like a network show, and to see that portrayed in television. So I feel like the show is basically like a reaction to what is happening like socially and in our justice in this world, especially this nation. Like upon watching it, if you notice, there's like no mistake that they have in the beginning Nina Simone's rendition of Strange Fruit. And for those who don't know, Strange Fruit is about a song about lynching. That's originally sang by Billie Holiday. So that's kind of cool. And not that cool, but like it's kind of informative in that the fact that you are dealing with a very heavy subject matter now, dealing with these heavy themes. A lot of it is also reflecting about like the Black Lives Movement, like Black Lives Matter movement. So how do you like equate something like a comic book superhero and embed like modern day social issues? I think you have this is the result, is Black Lightning. Mm-hmm. I think they delicately examine and deconstruct like how we look at Black lives through the prism of a modern day superhero television show. Yes, we had Mantis in the 90s, Fox's Mantis. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, which is like one of the first depiction of a Black superhero on television that is the main character. And I liked it at the time. I think that was a well-directed, well-produced television show. But I don't remember it. I don't know if it holds up.
Yeah, same here.
But at the time, I liked it because you had shows like Buffy and... like you thought like the 90s was like progressive, like, oh wow, there's a Black man who's like a superhero. And like I was young that time. But with this show, again, you get like corny comic book things, you know. Mm-hmm. That's always how it is. But I think overall, like it's a positive viewing. Like it pretty much is like awesome. And I felt like this should have been created years ago. It's unfortunate that I had to take like real news of Black men and women being shot who are unarmed and, you know, by cops to get this show. And I think there's hints of it here and there. Like there's it's deliberate that one of the characters say fake news. It's deliberate that there are cops here who look at all people who are people of color or Black folks like the same way. And I think that is, reaction to it. And I think the overall theme of it is about the responsibility of like the community and their action. Like, what would the community do? I think having a duo who are husband and wife and working together well, that's why it's written very well. Overall, it's crafted very well. Their characters are really great. The story is really good. My only gripe is probably it's a bit heavy-handed if you're coming into it not knowing about the subject matter of Black Lives Matter, or I think this is also a reaction to how Chicago, the city of Chicago, is facing a lot of their death rate when it comes to gang violence is high.
Mm-hmm.
But the trauma in real like Black communities is there. And I think it appeals to us, if you're not a person of color or Black, that you at least get some sort of understanding what's going on. They're telling it in a fictional sense, but it's happening in real life. And I think that's really good. But that's it. Yeah, I really like the show. I don't know if I'm going to continue watching it. I think there's too many shows at the moment that I'm like invested in. And I'll probably like come back when this is on like Netflix again. But yeah, I like how they don't tie it in with the other CW characters yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. And then I don't want to spoil anything, but I like how there's sort of this incredible type of vibe going on. Like Pixar's Incredibles.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. But John, so what's your thoughts about it, and what do you know of Black Lightning prior?
The last thing that we discussed about Black Lightning was in May when we did the Bronzeville episode, and we discussed the trailer of Black Lightning and how at the time Levy and Britton from Mick Red, we discussed like we don't know this character that well, and we weren't sure what type of show they're trying to create. And what I've seen, I really like it. It is continuing from what Netflix show that came out for Marvel. Oh God,
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage. It has similar themes, but this is more of the CW forte. You could say like it's not as serious, but at the same time, it is more serious than Luke Cage. But it has, like you said, a little corny superhero stuff where this outfit and whatnot and the special effects, but they have a message, a strong message about, like you said, about people of color and how they're treated today, especially in this atmosphere that we're living in. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I I like how it is not an origin movie, and I hope they don't do it. They literally, it feels like The Dark Knight Returns, where he's out, he's coming back in, he has his little helper who vents stuff, and they vent, he vent thing, and he's going back out to intimidate the gangs that are trying to rule the city again. The 100, I have no idea why it's called that. It's a silly name. The 100. I hope there's like only 100 people.
It reminds me of Kill Bill. Crazy. What was it?
I don't know. It was a stupid number that even the movie mocked.
Yeah.
Then there is a villain in here. I don't know if it is related to the comic books or whatnot. I'm looking forward to see if there's more comic book elements, like if there's villains that have superpowers too. And the thing they tease in the end reminds me, like you said, about a credible Pixar movie. And I'm looking forward to that. If they continue on that path, and it will be very different for a CW show that I haven't seen. I don't know if they've done it, concept of this show, basically. And yeah, just... they might connect this show, and that would be kind of cool just to see him interacting with other established superheroes. In the show, it looks like it's in this your own universe, but there's no reports of, you know, people from Star City with powers or whatnot like that. They don't discuss anything. And I could like that. It's contained, so he's only worried about his city that he has to... Or not even his city. I think it's just his neighborhood that he's protecting, and that's similar to Luke Cage of Marvel. It's not the whole world they're protecting. It's just the little people, the little guys that he's protecting. And I'm looking forward to that, how the show will evolve, especially in this type of climate of how much people will like it or not take on it because they think it's too political or whatnot. Echo all your thoughts, the same things. I think all the performances were good. I've never seen most of these people. Actually, none of them I've seen ever. If I have, they had minor parts. I think you said he was a dad on what show again?
Friday Night Lights.
Okay, yes. So yeah, I watched Friday Night Lights, but only the first season.
So you don't see him yet?
No. The second season one with the weird murder, right?
Yeah.
So
weird murder that's never mentioned at all in the show.
Yeah.
At
so
all.
I it was hard to take that plot, so I didn't continue. Yeah. But yeah, I will continue on watching it just to see the outcome, and then I'll report back later this year if how well they end the season. It's a good show.
Cool. So that is Black Lightning on the CW television station. It premieres this Tuesday. I don't know the exact time. Usually it's like 7 or 8 p.m. We highly recommend watching it, especially if you like really good written television shows about superheroes. So John, before we leave, where can they find you on the interweb?
You can just find me on Twitter at AbayaArts at the most organized Twitter feed of 2018 handle. Yes.
Twitter feed. I think Twitter feed is better to say. And you are very organized to the point. I would give a shout out to your illustrations when you're watching certain like television shows or films.
Mm-hmm. I'm continuing that. I watch too many things now, and I'm trying to think of a idea of how to draw these because I'm just taking like little moments of the things I watch or even played and then try to illustrate that the best quickly as I can. Not the best I can, but quickly as I can, just to show like,
it's tough.
I like this part. Like, I don't know, recently I posted something about the Black Mirror episode, and then I don't know if people get that image of the hands, but I thought that one part in that show was really powerful for me.
It's like a minimalistic take.
Yes.
So it's really cool. You can find me on the interweb as Benjamin Abaya on Instagram and Twitter. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find all episodes on iTunes and any podcast app you have. You can contacts@thefreakingawesome.com if you have any recommendations, questions, or whatnot. I think that's it right now. So thank you for listening. Everyone have a wonderful week. Hopefully You know, by the time you listen to this, like, the government is now not shut down. But hopefully you're not shut down. That's the most important part, that you're doing out things to be uplifted and whatnot. I'm Biju Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.